Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Good morning, and welcome to episode 105 of the Jaguars on SI podcast. I'm sorry, yeah. I'm frazzled. First of all, this is actually the morning time, which is somewhat of a rarity. Loyal listeners will know. But also, yeah, we've got the new... we've got that going on. We were working with some technical difficulties before the show, so hence the excitement at the top. But
the fact that this is even recorded is a minor miracle. Appreciate you guys sticking with us. We're obviously here to talk about the biggest contract in Jacksonville Jaguars history. Trevor Lawrence signed his deal a couple hours after we recorded the other night, which seems about appropriate for our timing. No, we did not do an immediate podcast because we are both also writers and had a lot to write about. Yesterday, we planned to do one. I had something come up. So here we are today to talk about Trevor's new contract. Tied for new highest paid player in the NFL. Somebody asked me if this is the first time the Jaguars have ever had the highest paid player in the NFL. And I don't know, maybe they had one in like the late 90s, early 2000s at like $7 million a year or something like that. But hey, for modern football, yes. I can say that without even researching because this is the first time – this offseason is the first time the Jaguars even gave out a $100 million contract. And now they've done it twice. And, so just right away, Gus, Trevor, 5 years, $55 million a year, I believe $200 million guaranteed around there. Mm-hmm. What were your immediate reactions to the deal, how it's structured, just your overall take? Oh, you have a dog. I didn't know that. Hello.
Dogson. I'll do a little interview. Her name's Ketchup. She's turned 5 months a couple days ago.
Her name's Ketchup?
Yeah.
I don't like Ketchup.
Girlfriend's dog, so.
You want to rename it?
What do you want? I feel like Ketchup is a pretty good name. You don't like it? Most people have a better reaction to that.
But Boris.
Boris? Ugh. Now, I feel like Boris could be a good dog name, but I don't think it really fits that dog.
Oh, true. Yeah, when I see that dog, I think of Ketchup. Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay, come jackass. On. It is red. Like, that's close enough.
You jackass.
Anyway, I didn't name it. I'm not going to get slandered here this morning for that. My immediate reaction was, of course, first of all, why couldn't this have happened 2 hours earlier? I was like at a bar with some friends and it was like the first time I'd seen them in a while. And I was like, I'm so sorry, guys. I got to work right now. And I had pre-written the Lawrence article, but obviously like it was kind of like a drop everything situation since it was such a big deal. In terms of the contract details, it's like about what I was expecting. Like I would have guessed like 54 or 55. I would have maybe thought that he would be right below Burrow, if anything, but instead he tied Burrow, which he's still kind of technically below Burrow because in terms of like how much of like a percentage of the cap it is, he's honestly considerably below Burrow.
Why is that a tough concept for people to grasp?
I don't know. I feel like the same people say, like, oh, cap goes up every year for other arguments that they make. So
yeah.
Since Burrow signed his deal, was it last year? $55 million last year is different than $55 million a year this year.
And one of these guys is questioning his football mortality every OTA. So there you go.
OTAs?
Yeah. So by average salary percentage of salary cap at signing, Burrow ranks first at 24.4% of their cap when he signed. So that was a big deal. Lawrence is at 10th at 21.5%. Dak has a higher percentage. Watson, Kyler, Jalen Hurts, Mahomes, Lamar, Herbert, and Josh Allen. So, like, yeah, he's tied with Joe Burrow, but, like, if you're accounting for, like, the cap rising and the different league years, he's, like, kind of barely a top 10 babe quarterback.
Yeah, plus there's the fact that it's not going to be – the extension doesn't kick in after this following year. It kicks in after 2 years. And so, like, it's basically almost a seven-year deal because it takes him through the 2030 season. So the fact that it, like, starts in two seasons and not in after just one season is another kind of point making it just team-friendly. So that was kind of my initial reaction after seeing the details come out, is that obviously great for Lawrence. Like, he's one of the richest athletes in America, so it's definitely a win for him. But I think it was definitely a win for the Jaguars, his front office, too, to be able to get a relatively team-friendly deal compared to the rest of the top of the quarterback market. And then to do it, like, well before training camp, and then to also, like, have done the Josh Allen deal in the same offseason is pretty big for the organization.
I mean, this is the biggest offseason in franchise history. They've handed out the two biggest contracts they've ever paid on top of the stadium talks, which I think in about a week or so are about to, you know, be voted on. So this is definitely the biggest, you know, offseason I think they've had in terms of long-term impact. I mean, Shaw's definitely opened up, you know, the wallet. It was striking how this deal seemed to go so much more smoothly in terms of timeline than, like, the Josh Allen deal. But like we talked about before, they were always going to pay him. It was never, like, regardless of what you hear on the football GM podcast or whatever that snooze is, they didn't need to see anything next year, this next season, from Trevor to be like, oh, should we pay him? Like, they decided in, like, 2022 they were going to pay him. We heard last offseason, 2023, that they were already talking about paying him. So they had already decided that. So once you already decide it, and you can argue the merits of that's right or wrong, you know, take it up with your sporting news executives of the years, whatever. But at the end of the day, like, if you've already decided, it only makes sense to pay him sooner than later. Like, I just can't wrap my mind around. Like, either you don't think he's the guy, which people are allowed to think, you know, anybody's allowed to think anything, you know, morons are all around, you know, the world. Or you think, okay, this is a top 15 quarterback who you can win with, you can win because of, why not just pay him now? And that's really the standard. Nobody, like, quarterbacks aren't getting paid because they're Patrick Mahomes anymore. That's not the case. And I had somebody ask me, I was like, does it make sense that he's getting paid more per year than Patrick Mahomes? It does. Mahomes got paid like 3 years ago, dude. That's how markets work. I feel like I'm going crazy. Like, no, you don't have to be you don't have to be as good as Patrick Mahomes to make as much money as Patrick Mahomes. You have to be younger than Patrick Mahomes to make as much money as him. As long as you are a good starting quarterback, which Trevor Lawrence undoubtedly is, you're going to get paid. We've seen it with Jared Goff. We've seen it with Kirk Cousins. We've seen it, honestly, with Kyler. You know, I feel like there weren't as many questions when, you know, maybe Kyler got his deal. So as long as you're above that, like, Baker Mayfield, like, tier, you're going to get paid. So it only made sense. And I said that it broke a cycle, and I posted pictures of Gabbert, Blake Kinney, and Nick Foles. And aside from the Blake Bortles went to the AFC Championship tweets, which I attempted to completely discard. And aside from my good friend, Cole Hartley, friend of the podcast, congratulations on the family. Left the tweet up for about 30 seconds saying what cycle before taking it down. The cycle is, for the first time, the Jaguars actually have a quarterback who it's worth even having a debate of paying him this much money. They've never in franchise history had a quarterback worth paying top of the market money, or a quarterback maybe worth paying top of the market money. You know, Mark Brunell, good quarterback, first time, best, most accomplished quarterback in franchise history, but Byron Leftwich, David Garrard, Blaine Gabbert, Blake Bortles, Chad Henne, Gardner Minshew, Jake Luton, Mike Glennon, if you want to count him.
Like they're including free agents.
Dude, they've entire like last two decades have had probably the worst answers at the quarterback position in the NFL between Gabbert, Bortles. Like I know fans love Bortles. Like get a dog. I mean, if you want to be like a musician, Bortles would have been a great mascot. If you just want to, you know, get lit and make the fans cheer. He awful quarterback, terrible quarterback.
There was like a decade plus long stretch where the Jags were the losingest team in the league, and so there's a reason for that. And it's quarterback.
Yeah, and like 9-8 isn't the ceiling. And if you're saying 9-8 was a good season, yeah, that is sad. The Jaguars have been a sad franchise. the fact that they've been more successful with Trevor Lawrence than they've been with any other quarterback since Brunel in his first 3 years alone. I mean, I think it was a no-brainer. I can't believe people – well, I can believe people are because, I mean, it's Twitter. It's social media. You're going to hear all kinds of different opinions no matter how stupid. So I can believe that people are reacting the way they have, but I also, to a point, can't believe, like, our football literacy is down this bad right now. Yeah.
No, it's crazy. People should have known he was always going to get paid. It was funny, John Osher in his like daily mailbag article on Jaguars.com the day after Lawrence was signed, he said, "I don't really know how much clearer I could have made it in this column other than saying in all caps, Trevor Lawrence is going to get extended this summer," because he was doing the thing that like a lot of people in the local media and even in the national media were doing like throughout the offseason, which is just that like hinting towards a deal happening. And just like knowing that it was imminent because the Jaguars had confidence that Lawrence was a guy. And then, like you said, once that decision is made, you just go ahead and pay him as soon as you can because the price will only go up. And I know I feel like a lot of people that aren't big Lawrence fans will point straight to his production. And obviously it's a bit underwhelming for
– His production sucks. I think Trevor Lawrence is awesome. His production sucks is what it is. Use context. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I think the Jaguars can point to like this one stretch from when Peterson arrived in week one of 2022 from last year to week 13 of 2023 when Lawrence was injured against the Bengals. The Jags were 17-11 in that span. And Lawrence, I don't know his stats off the top of my head, but he was posting stats like one of the better quarterbacks in the league. And so like that's basically all of Peterson's tenure until like Lawrence and Christian Kirk succumbed to injuries. And so I feel like that's a pretty good sample size and track record. And so I don't really blame the Jaguars for kind of pointing to that, if that's what part of their thinking process of like, we actually have seen a little bit of it before. It's not like we're totally banking on potential with this guy.
Yeah. Like I said, they had already seemed like they decided to pay him after that little run that they had in 2022. They literally could not pay him yet because he was only 2 years into the NFL, but it seemed like that season alone was all it took for them to be like, okay, once you're eligible for an extension. So this is a decision that's been made for a long time. And you can talk ad nauseum about the 2023 season, how it was underwhelming, especially from him from a production standpoint. I think we've gone over enough times about the context of that season and really putting it into perspective. Like, yeah, he could fumble a little less, but at the end of the day, the only reason they're ever competitive is Trevor Lawrence. Like he has changed for the, he hasn't done anything. He's changed the franchise. I think he's turned the Jaguars at least into a semi-respectable team. I covered this team for 2 years before Trevor got here. Complete laughing stock of the league. Complete laughing stock. The most exciting thing that happened was a mildly entertaining backup quarterback with a mustache who called Gary Smith's the wrong name every day. And he got benched for Nick Foles. So, like, just an abysmal quarterback history. So I think that's why this was the right move. And, no, I don't think that'd be the case no matter how he played. I think if he played like Blake Bortles his first 2 years, no, hell no, you don't pay him. But he didn't. He's, I think, top five in success rate over the last two seasons, somewhere around there.
I would say top six for sure.
Yeah, so the advanced, like, numbers are all very complimentary of Lawrence. Like, the only, like, metrics that aren't good for him are turnovers and like touchdown and touchdown percentage. Everything else, he's exceptional.
With touchdowns, you need like more explosive players. And so I feel like there's been kind of like a lack of playmaking just from the receiver unit for most of his career. And so I feel like that's again where like kind of the just athleticism, really, of Gabe Davis and Brian Thomas comes into play. Even if they aren't, like, big contributors right away, they can at least, like, fill that role for the team. So, yeah.
Well, so I guess I'll say this. From my perspective as a media member, should fans care at all what people are saying? Like, it obviously doesn't matter what people are saying. He just got paid despite half of the football world thinking he's like Baker Mayfield. So it obviously, in the grand scheme of things, it what anybody says doesn't actually matter. But should fans actually care that people are like boo-hooing this deal? Should they just mute and keep scrolling?
I think if anything, they should like take it as a chip on their shoulder, because like Lawrence might be doing that himself, like kind of reading and seeing all the news and seeing a decent amount of national and maybe some local folks. There's actually been less local folks than I expected that are like upset by the deal.
I don't think I've seen any.
Yeah. I just meant like Twitter clowns too. Not.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well,
but even then, like Lawrence will probably get a little bit of a chip on the shoulder just because enough people out there are saying like he's not worth the money that he got. But Jags fans should take it the same way. Like, I feel like, if people are saying that your quarterback isn't as good as you think he is, then, like, I don't know, take it back to them in the streets of Twitter.
Just keep moving on today. That's what I think. And yeah, I broke my won't talk about the Trevor Lawrence discourse rule.
I was going to mention that.
As you pointedly noted, yeah.
I tweeted about this. I posted about that. I was DMing him about that.
I have to. It is my job. I kept it. I kept it to a good limit. I sent several "who cares" replies, which is better, I think, than I've done in the past. Somebody tweeted me, it was like, it seems like most NFL fans think we overpaid, and only biased Jaguars media thinks this is a good deal. My exact reply was, NFL fans think everything. Who cares? You can find enough NFL fans who think Bryce Young's about to have a monster season. Like, who cares, dude? There were NFL fans who thought Kenny Pickett was a franchise quarterback. There were NFL media who thought Davis Mills was better than Trevor Lawrence. Yeah, people are stupid. In my opinion, most opinions should be taken with a grain of salt. And I said as somebody whose living is made off by giving opinions. So take my opinion with a plate of salt. But everybody else, hey, Gus, you can take a couple grands. All right, we're going to break real quick for a quick ad, and then we'll get right back to wrap this convo up. Welcome back to the Jaguars on SI podcast. See how easy that was, Gus?
Yeah, it really
was. It's like riding a bike. Can I admit something to you?
Yeah.
I don't know how to ride a bike.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah, I don't have any shame. I don't care. I drive a truck. Why do I need a bike? I have four wheels.
I don't know how to ride a skateboard. I don't know how much worse that or better that is.
That's very different.
That's very different. I don't know. Does everyone learn how to ride a bike?
Most people.
I was pretty shocked.
I'm a klutz. I have balance issues. So I could do the training wheels. But once they took those off, I was falling all over the place. I said, screw it. And now that, you know, I have my driver's license, I'm like, ride a bike? I can get there with AC, like half the time.
So you tried first when you were like, what, 6 or 7 years old? Is that when kids start to ride bikes? And then you just, whatever age it was, you just haven't tried again since?
Oh, I've tried again. Oh, I've tried.
Have you been on like a motorcycle or a moped or anything like that?
Hell no.
Skiing?
No, not either. But
all right, well, that was random. What's good with a bike?
I don't know. I feel like they say some things are as easy as riding a bike, and some things are easy, but I don't know how to ride a bike. But nonetheless, all right. just like I don't know how to ride a bike. I don't know how to properly compliment most of the time. I'll give my kudos to, I'll give it kudos to Trent Baalke and the Jaguars front office actually not dragging their feet and getting this deal done. Because, I mean, we talked about the advantages to getting it done now before getting it done next year. If they had paid him next year, it's probably, what, $60 million a year? Higher than that?
At least. The cap isn't going to go up as much as it did this offseason, next season.
No. But other quarterbacks will get paid.
Right. So, yeah, I think 60 is fair.
So, and that's why I think some credit goes to Trent Baalke and co. I mean, Shad Khan in his statement was credit to Trent and Trevor. So it's clear that Shad's happy with the job. Trent did. I mean, God, signing Lawrence alone this offseason might have bought him another season or two alone for keeping it 100. But, I mean, kudos to, I think, the front office. And that's because I don't think you deserve compliments for paying Trevor Lawrence, because most people without rocks or brains would have done the same. However, they were able to get this deal done before Jordan Love gets his deal, before Dak Prescott gets his deal from whoever the hell he gets it from, mm-hmm. and before Tua gets his deal. Like, they kind of screwed the Dolphins. Like, the Dolphins have to pay Tua at least what Trevor got, because Tua, his stats are obviously much better than Trevor. I don't think most people with functioning eyes would take Tua over Trevor. Like, if you put Trevor on the Dolphins and Tua on the Jags, the Dolphins probably, you know, test the Chiefs for the Super Bowl, while the Jags, I think, are picking top 10, like, at best. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, so the Dolphins
would be the ones that sign Dak, honestly.
Yeah, no, they should. They really should. So, I mean, that's where I think the credit comes from. They could have dragged their feet and signed him after some of these guys. I mean, did it with Josh Allen. Josh Allen got signed after Gary and Sweat and even Brian Burns. You probably could have got Allen for cheaper if you signed him sooner. They signed Trevor before these three guys. I mean, if you sign him after any of them, I think the price goes up. So now he's the new guy they have to match, as opposed to the Jaguars chasing these other deals and chasing what these other teams did. And I do think they deserve some credit for that, because, I mean, I think Love probably gets paid before training camp. So it's a very real scenario where it could have been kind of a race to see, you know, who gets paid first. And it's also a very, I thought, smooth, like, process. Like, one of the smoothest contract extensions, like, the Jaguars have had play out publicly, right?
Yeah, there was really no real fret about the situation. Like, the only, like, fret that emerged was just because, like, it was a lengthy process, but it wasn't like it was – like, you're crediting them for getting it done, like, as quickly as possible. And so it's just that it happens to be a long off season, and so people were kind of getting antsy, and that's all.
So with Trevor – does the pressure and the expectations increase now that he's one of the highest paid quarterbacks, or were the expectations already there, being number one overall pick, etc.?
That's fair. I think the expectations, I think yes to both. The expectations will rise, but there's obviously already expectations there. But I think he knows it himself. Like, even since the first time he was asked about his contract extension when the season ended in January, he said, like, I know there's going to be risen or higher expectations, and so it's my job doesn't change. It's my job to deliver a Super Bowl, and I know that I still have, like, room to improve my game, and I'm only going to get better. And so that was kind of, like, his message then throughout the offseason. And so I think he's definitely aware of it, and so that's why I'm saying, yeah, he's definitely going to have higher expectations. And so I think, like, already the expectations were, like, get the Jaguars to be a competitive team. And yeah, he was, like, on that path because he led them to a playoff win in 2022. And then they were, like, competing for the number one playoff seed halfway through last year. But now the expectation is, can you raise the Jaguars from competitor to true contender? And so, like, I think it's going to be expected that he's, like, playing in AFC championships or multiple AFC championships in the next several years.
Okay, so I guess that's my question. Is contract runs until 2030. What team accomplishments do you think they have to make to the point where you're like, okay, this aged well?
Obviously, a Super Bowl would be nice, but I think if they make
– it'd be nice.
I think if they make multiple AFC championship appearances, that might be enough.
I think if they make one.
It's hard, man. That's a hard thing to do, especially in the current state of the league where, like, the AFC is so stacked with all the great quarterbacks. That's
my question. For all the what has he done, what has anybody done, not named Patrick Mahomes? Yeah,
like, Joe Burrow has barely accomplished more than him, yet I feel like national people are so much higher on Burrow. I just
The Bengals have accomplished more than the Jaguars. I don't think Burrow – like, I'm sorry. The Burrow, that entire playoffs, he was terrible. I think less of Joe Burrow for going to the Super Bowl than I think more of him, because he was definitely carried there. I real quick, for people who maybe didn't see it, Trevor and Trent and Shad had statements yesterday. Trevor said, I'm beyond grateful to be able to continue my career in Jacksonville. My family and I love the city. It's become home to us, and this solidifies that even more. We can't thank Mr. Khan and everyone involved enough for their belief in me. I know the best is yet to come, and this is only the beginning. The drive to bring a championship to Duval is bigger than ever. Let's get it done. It's one of the few times you hear, like, Jaguars and even, like, desire to go to the Super Bowl. Like, most seasons I've covered them outside of last year, like, the goal was, all right, let's see how we do, you know? Like, and that's the Trevor Lawrence effect, I think. They actually have aspirations of doing big things, whereas before, hell yeah, we went 7-9.
Yeah, I do think Doug Peterson gets some credit of, like, kind of establishing a culture of, like, we're for expecting sure. ourselves to reach, like, the pinnacle and reach the top and reach the big game. But yeah, absolutely, they wouldn't be able to do that and establish that culture without Trevor Lawrence
for sure. And then here was Trent, and I'm gonna speak to one of Trent's points. He said, with this 5-year extension, the vision we had when we selected Trevor first overall in 2021 has become a reality. Our objectives have always been aligned. As an organization, we have consistently messaged the importance of extending our core players, and Trevor is a foundational talent that we will continue to build around in our quest for a championship. With his talent, work ethic, leadership, and competitive drive, we are confident the best is yet to come and are thrilled that he and Marissa will continue to make Jacksonville their home. I think the big thing there, one, I think it's fair to say the best is probably yet to come for Trevor. Like, the next couple of years will probably be better for him than these last couple of years are. And then, I mean, he's just such a young quarterback that I think that's bound to happen. And then secondly, to Trent's point of how they've communicated keeping, like, their own guys, I think that's another thing this offseason has shown. You know, like, finally, the two highest paid players in franchise history, Josh Allen and Trevor Lawrence, are guys the Jaguars drafted. Previously, it was like Nick Foles and Malik Jackson and a ton of free agents. Like, the Jaguars just have not had any success on signing, like, draft picks to big second contracts. Now, they've signed some to second deals, Miles Jack, Telvin Smith, Brandon Linder. I think they regret all of those. Marquise Lee, that's another one, Blake Bortles. Yeah, all these sound awful now that I'm naming them off a stream of consciousness. And then you look at the good players they've drafted, their best picks over the last decade or so, Jalen Ramsey, Ngakoue, Allen Robinson. I know it worked out, but you can even throw Juwan Taylor in there, maybe. Like, most of the actual good players they've drafted, they have not paid. So I think actually paying these two is a shift at last in their philosophy. And I know they've been saying it for years, but just as an organization, a shift in maybe their pattern of stop paying outside help and try to start developing your own guys. And, you know, with Trevor signing this deal, like, his cap hit in, like, 2029 is like 70-something million. So they're going to have to draft their own guys. They're going to have to be good at drafting and developing now that they have Trevor under this deal, Josh Allen to a lesser extent under his. They're going to have to play less of a part in free agency. They're going to have to do that more. So I think that's probably the most important, like, kind of shift other than obviously Trevor being around for the long term.
Yeah, and Baalke has said in pressers going back to last offseason that, like, they need to transition from a big spending team and free agency to a draft and develop team. And so that kind of goes hand in hand with your comment that, like, they've been ready to pay him for a while now. So I think they've just been considering that they're going to have this mammoth quarterback deal on the books, and they're going to have to draft well in order to build a good team, a contending team around him. And then to go back to your first point, like, I've made the point several times about how Trevor Lawrence is going to improve this season because his, like, surrounding environment has improved in terms of the pass catchers. But also, like you said, he's still young. He's a 24-year-old. He's just going to improve just with more experience and just by playing more in Peterson's system. And that was one thing Peterson said a couple weeks ago at OTAs, was that he learned it takes, like, 3, maybe even 4 years to, like, for things to really click in a system. It's something he learned in Green Bay. And so this is going into year 3 for Lawrence in Peterson's system. And so I think it's pretty fair when we want to wipe out the Urban Meyer rookie season for Lawrence, because not only was, like, Urban Meyer disaster, but just, like, the roster was bad enough to get, like, consecutive number one overall picks. If Lawrence hadn't been there in 2020 or 2021, like, they would have been sent down to, like, an Arena Football League or something.
Yeah, I don't think they won a game in 2021 with –
They won the home opener, and then they lost 15 in a row, I think. Or maybe that was the year
before. That was 2020, yeah. They won week one, and that's when the social media team, they put out something. And
it was like Gardner Minshew, like, hyping up the locker room after or something.
Yeah, and then they lose the next 15.
Yeah.
Good times. Was there for every one of them. God, what a year 2021 was. COVID. Well, Gus, you got anything else to pontificate before we head out of here?
No. I'm just happy that it's done. I would have gotten antsy myself if we had like gotten closer to training camp and no deal had gotten done, because I would have still been expecting it really any day until it happened. But like I also wanted to say, when you were crediting the front office for like getting the deal done, I think that's also why Shad said credit to Balky and Trevor, because like Trevor's camp could have done the same thing that Josh Allen's camp kind of sort of did in the past year of like kind of waiting for other guys to sign to make sure you get the top market value. But Trevor like didn't wait around for Tua or Jordan Love or Dak Prescott to sign, which he could have if he really wanted to. So credit again to him.
We have a prediction on it. We have a prediction on his extension in 2030.
I think he'll get extended in 2029. And he'll be the highest paid quarterback in the league again.
Good stuff.
Write it down.
American football, baby. American football. All right. Well, that's all I got as well. Like I said, it's obviously a good move. Like you said, for my selfish reasons, I'm happy that I can stop writing about this. So happy that it's over with.
For sure. It's a little bit of weight off the shoulders.
Yeah, for sure. So thank you guys.
Thank you guys.
Sorry. I do that in person. I'll just have a little people in there. Yeah, I'll do it in person too. The wife hates it. I talk about it. My reflexes are like a tick off from everybody else's. Like I said, I'm clumsy, and that goes with verbal too. So like, I'm hearing myself talking over you, but it takes me a second to stop it.
It's all good, brother. We still got good chemistry. Episode 105.
Yes, sir. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? Thank you guys for joining the Jaguars on SI podcast. John Shipley, my friend, co-host Gus Logue, catch up somewhere in the background. We will be back next week to talk about, catch up. Oh, I like you.
It's a good dog.
We're back next week to talk about something. Couldn't tell you what the hell we're going to talk about. Don't know where Gus just went, but there we go. What? There we go. Hey, catch up. Hey, hold up. Let me get a pick for the wife. That dog loves you.
Aw. Yeah.
Does she have a little bell?
She's better. She's a good one.
That's a Jaguar on SI podcast highlight right there, baby. I almost caught myself saying the JR word.
Ruh-roh.
So, once again, thank you guys for joining us. We'll be back next week to talk about whatever the hell we can think of. Until then, don't forget, NFL quarterback market, he's got Balky ball, buddy.
That's right.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.